Welcome to Ask the Chief Information Officer, brought to you by Vion Corporation on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Every week, Federal News Radio interviews CIOs of federal agencies about the latest directives, IT challenges, and successes. Ask the CIO with your host, Jason Miller.
And our special guest today is Rob Carey, the Department of Navy's Chief Information Officer, or should I say, unfortunately, outgoing Chief Information Officer. Rob, thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Jason.
Well, you are moving to a new position within the Navy Department. That's kind of like an exit interview, if you will. You've been 4 years at in the CIO office. Talk about your decision, why you think it's time for a change.
Well, it was mutually agreed upon decision between my boss, the undersecretary, and myself that, you know, executives roll every so many years, and I have been in the office of the CIO a long time, over 10 years. I sort of climbed from being a team leader to the deputy to the CIO. You know, we did have succession plans and we executed them, which I think is actually a good thing. But it was time for me to go look up and see what else there was on the horizon. And I wanted to stay within the IT cyber field. And so, you know, we decided that, hey, who needs help is the Cybercom, and specifically Fleet Cybercom and 10th Fleet. And so we decided that it was best for me to go work there and help Admiral Barry McCullough deliver operational outcomes for the fleet.
It's interesting because, as you said, you've spent 10 years in the CIO's office. Lots of change happens over 10 years. Was it a pretty difficult decision, even though you kind of knew it was coming? Because, you know, people get comfortable, people like what they do. You don't stay in a position, you, me, whomever, for 10 years without liking it every day, getting up and getting excited to come to work.
It was not it was difficult, maybe not the right word. It's sort of you're staring at this precipice and you know that there's a point in time in the near future that it's coming. So you just have to prepare yourself. And then I made the job more difficult because I said I wanted to stay in IT. I believe this job requires very specific technical talents in addition to being a general leader, communicator, collaborator, so on and so on. I believe you actually have to understand this business to be successful at it. And so I thought that it would be more beneficial to the department to be able to harness my skills in the same lane, if you will, and then move into the operational lane, into the cyberspace, and the U.S. Cybercom up at Fort Meade is a good place for me to apply my talent.
And we're going to get to that in a sec, but is that where you will eventually, your office will be at Fort Meade?
Yes, I will be moving up to Fort Meade, and first day up there will be 13th of September.
I've talked to Henry Sinkowitz on the show, the DISA Chief Information Officer, just recently, and he talked about the changes, and he said, yeah, we were just up there at DISA the other day, and the buildings are beautiful, they're modern. He was, you know, making me excited to go to Fort Meade, and I'm not even going.
Well, you know, buildings are one thing. It really is about the work. You know, you have to be mindful of the mission. I've worked in some pretty Spartan surroundings in my reserve capacity, and so, you know, the self-satisfaction that you derive from making a difference and getting things accomplished, the buildings become somewhat secondary.
Well, when you're in the reserve, and I know, for instance, you were at one point in time during your stay at the Navy, you were called up to duty, and I'm sure that once you work in the Middle East, whether it's Kuwait or Iraq or wherever you ended up being deployed, that's a lot different than a nice building in the U.S.
Very much so. You know, never take air conditioning for granted. Never take a padded chair for granted.
All right, the words to live by. Let's talk about that new position. You give us a little bit of a heads up. You're going to be working with Admiral Barry McCullough. Talk about what you'll be doing. What do you know? Obviously, you haven't started yet, and you said you start, I guess, September 13th.
Correct. Correct. So I will be a direct report to Barry and working on a policy and strategy and really trying to deliver solutions derived from both industry and academia to infuse them into the Navy's operational networks, trying to help consolidate them. You know, the Secretary Gates memo, Rob's mind has a lot of opportunity in it to do the right things that we need to do anyway. So I think I have pretty much an open canvas up there to dig in and help both the C4 side of the house, the network side of the house. There's a great deal of work to be done. There's no dearth of opportunity up at Fort Meade with Fleet Cybercom.
Sounds fascinating because, as you described it, policy strategy, but yet you're also going to be very, if you will, solutions focused. So I imagine that means systems focused. and not just say, okay, what can we do better, but what's going on outside of the Navy that we can maybe pull into the Navy. Does that describe it correctly?
Jason, I think that, you know, as I wrote in my last blog, for example, this is a team sport, so somebody else has the answer, right? And I don't know that I would say a systems focus as much, but I would say there's potential for that. The idea is how we better secure and defend the networks and how we allow access, right, the tool sets, the ideas, you know, I don't care where the ideas come from. I care that they come. I've said that many times. So to rob from the Army or the Air Force or NSA or what have you and imbue those ideas in a consistent architecture in the Navy, if it results in a better defendability, a better cybersecurity posture, increasing access, those are all going to be good things. So I plan on steering on as many fronts as I can when I get up there.
And obviously you work closely with the U.S. Cyber Command, General Alexander's staff, but also I imagine some of the other cyber commands or cyber offices within the Army, the Marines, the Air Force. Is that correct?
Absolutely.
And have you guys already started? You probably have already reached out to a certain extent to some of those people because you know them just from your position as the CIO.
I do, and I have started, albeit not as much as I would have wanted to, because the day job here is a little demanding, and so there's not like this period of overlap. I will be working up through a Friday and then on Monday reporting from the new job. So I don't really have that opportunity to sort of start and run both at one time. So I'm doing it a little bit, but I must admit, I think I'll start in earnest probably the first week in September. I'll try to gather up nuts and berries and ideas and contacts, and then move when I get up there, really start with a clean canvas, because I know at that point there's only a couple of small things that I'll have on my plate, which will be to help the new CIO when he or she is picked to succeed.
And you make my job so easy, because that's my next question. Do we know right now what's the process to replace you as CIO? Obviously, you're going to have an acting. Talk about, in the meantime, who's going to be acting and what's the process to eventually have a new CIO?
Yeah, so now there is an ongoing recruitment action happening right now as we speak. Some of the preliminary interviews have occurred, although there is no slate, if you will. They're at the front end of the process, but the undersecretary and his selection team are moving rapidly. Barbara Hoffman, my principal deputy, will be the acting after I depart. And, you know, as I promised her, we keep that time period where you're acting as the CIO down to as short as possible. The under has told me that, you know, you will come back and you will make sure that the CIO that we pick knows everything you know about where all the skeletons are, where all the opportunities are, so that they can, or he or she can be successful and move down the same agenda that I've been moving down.
There's some discussion in the IT community that whoever replaces you will actually probably be someone who's in the military, who's in the service on a full-time basis, very similar to what we see with General Sorensen in the Army, General Lord with the Air Force. The Navy was the only one that, if you will, had a civilian as their CIO. Do you know if that's still the direction, or that's still up in the air because it all depends on the candidates?
That was actually never the direction. I know some people thought that that was potentiality, but the reason this job has been occupied by a civilian since it was created was the fact that we didn't decide at the time, you know, 14 years ago, that we would have a Navy officer over the Marine Corps or a Marine Corps over the Navy, what have you. That becomes a challenging construct and has to be really thought out. So the compromise solution was we'll put a civilian in there and create a civilian position at a very senior level to be the CIO. So the recruitment that is out is for an SES, Tier 3, a very senior person that will report directly to the secretary and the under, and will take advantage of the opportunities presented by the Gates memo and the task forces and the direction for consolidation. So this person will have a whole lot of opportunity in front of them.
Very interesting. I think a lot of people are going to be interested and both maybe a little relieved to hear that. But we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk more about your experiences as the CIO. You are listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today is Rob Carey, the Department of Navy's Chief Information Officer.
CIOs and IT directors, is your network-attached storage infrastructure out of control? Do you have dozens and dozens of NAS appliances that are difficult to administer? Ask the experts at Vion Corporation how Hitachi's high-performance NAS, powered by BlueArc, can consolidate your NAS infrastructure, reduce your number of NAS appliances, and improve your NAS performance. With a 30-year partnership, Vion and Hitachi Data Systems have been bringing you innovative technologies with quality service. Visit Vion.com to learn more. That's Vion.com. CIOs and IT directors, are you paying for capacity services that you're not using? Take a good look at your capacity services contract, and next time, make sure you're not signing just another lease. Ask the experts. Vion Corporation, you can create a plan so that you only pay for what you use. When your job is on the line with data storage decisions, that's the way to go. With a 30-year partnership, Vion and Hitachi Data Systems have been bringing you innovative technologies with integrity and quality service. Visit Vion.com to learn more. That's Vion.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today is Rob Carey, the Navy Department's Chief Information Officer. Now, Rob, before break, we talked a lot about your new role as with the Cyber Command, the 10th Fleet. We talked about kind of who's going to replace you, and obviously that's still up in the air. When you look forward, you're going to have a whole new set of experiences, a whole new set of priorities. How is your experiences as the CIO or within the CIO's office over the last 10 years going to really help you in your new job?
Well, I think that, first of all, when we say IMIT and we say cyber, you know, as I've written in my blog a couple times and I've spoken to this point, the lexicon used by the Clinger-Cohen Act defining IMIT and the lexicon used to define cyberspace by DepSecDef and others, NIST, are virtually the same thing, and I believe that. So I don't believe that there's this dramatic difference between the two worlds. As a matter of fact, I think they are an 80 or 90% overlap. So I think that helps me understand. My experiences here involved in the Federal CIO Council in technologies that are driving cybersecurity and securing networks are identical to what's required up at Fort Meade for CyberCom or Fleet CyberCom or U.S. 10th Fleet. So I think the worlds all intersect here, and I think they're all complementary. I believe the if I was attached to the fleet as a six as a Navy captain level, and my experiences and knowledge and desires aren't a whole lot different, although they're afloat, than would be a CIO at an echelon 2 or 3 command running the networks for their part of the business. So I think that this will prepare me well to go up there. Now, I must admit, getting the ability to make these kinds of changes and then involving some of the intelligence side, that's a new experience. But again, it is all the same world, if you will. So I think it will help me shorten my learning curve while I'm up there.
A couple things you touched upon that I want to go back to. The first one is when you talked about kind of the world you're moving into is very 80 to 90% overlap from the world, if you will, you're coming from. That's very interesting because a lot of times people, when they jump to something that's not as familiar and the learning curve is really steep. Do you believe that your learning curve starting off is going to be steep? And if so, where? Maybe not in the technology area, but maybe in the people area or what?
I think in the understanding priorities, understanding maybe some of the sensitive aspects of the intelligence side that I haven't been exposed to deeply, although I'm exposed to that too. I don't think my learning curve will be tremendously steep. What I see that the mission of the U.S. 10th Fleet is Fleet CyberCom, the mission of CyberCom, you know, I'm pushing for those same objectives from this position. So I'm hopeful that my eyes don't get as big as saucers and I start to drink from a fire hose and I'm not very effective. I expect to be pretty effective from day one, and then I can grow from that to be even more effective.
And what's fascinating about moving into cyber is that's really a hot topic right now. I mean, we just were talking with somebody recently on Federal News Radio, and one of the things that came up was how many bills are on Capitol Hill around cyber. 52, I think, is the latest count, all have something to do with cybersecurity. I know you may not have to deal with that specifically, but you know, it shows just how much interest there is around it. So in many ways, this position has come to you at almost the perfect time.
That's why I wanted to stay involved and I wanted to go help the Navy and Fleet CyberCom with what I've learned. I actually believe I've learned a lot. I think I've been pretty effective at the things that I've been able to deliver. And so you're right. I mean, in my role as Federal CIO Council co-chair with Van Hitch on the ICIMC, you know, we had an opportunity to interact with several of the staffers who are pushing some of the front-running bills, and so I've been very involved in that and trying to make sure that the right sets of activities are ongoing on the Hill because, you know, when it becomes law, we want the right set of words that are educated by real-life experiences, right, to show up, not erroneous words that are going to be harmful. And I think that's what the Hill wants. I've been very supportive of soliciting comments from Van and I and the rest of the members of the committee. So I think this is a good time for me to go and just shift my focus a little bit and sort of roll up my sleeves and dig in on the operational side, because the experiences I have here are extremely complementary. I understand how the Pentagon works. I understand how the aspects of delivering solutions work. And so I think that, again, when I get up to Fort Meade, the learning curve will be shorter than most.
One of the things you brought up was the CIO Council and your work there. Obviously, that's in addition to your Navy job, so it's you're moonlighting in a little ways.
That's correct.
But talk a little bit about that experience there, working with Van Hitch, working with other members of the CIO Council on cybersecurity, on privacy, on identity management. What did you learn from that experience that really shifts well right into your new role with the Cyber Fleet?
Well, it was a very rewarding experience to work with Van and see a brand new committee start out at its first meeting with 13 or 14 people coming to a monthly event with subcommittees and people actually producing work, all on a volunteer basis, mind you, not because this is part of their workday. This is, remember, you work on the Federal CIO Council right after your workday's done for the most part. But to see the four subcommittees produce real things, that whether it would be down the identity management path or the cyber scope tool, things like that, that have an effect on the federal government. So it really was eye-opening, as well as for the opportunity and the satisfaction that we were able to deliver solutions at the federal level. And I think Van would say the same thing. It's been really interesting to try to help Vivek Kundra, Anish Chopra, and the White House, Howard Schmidt, to go down the path that we understand and advise them, give them our thoughts on what are the right experiences we've had, or what are the experiences that we've had that could benefit them as they move into the future.
When you look back, I mean, during your time with ICMC, what do you see as maybe your biggest accomplishment?
I think the power of collaboration across the federal government, providing every agency a voice, whether they use it or not, a different thing, but providing the opportunity to collaborate on a solution that was going to become either policy or a federal standard, you know, is sort of what I take great pride in. So there's many, many things that have popped out, you know, many products that have popped out. But I think what's really useful is to be able to be heard, you know, to talk to Howard Schmidt and be heard, to talk to Vivek Kundra and be heard, and to know that the opinion that you're rendering is informed by 20 agencies, 30 agencies, right? Because now you know it's going to work. The minute you try this top-down approach that says, here's what I direct, you know, generally those don't work as well as collaborative opinions formed from, right, lots of people's eyes on the problem. And then you can move a whole lot faster because you got buy-in. So that group, the group of 50-plus people that continue to come every month and in their off time continue to contribute, whether it is down the identity management path or it is down the cybersecurity strategy path or it's down the, you know, acquisition of IT path. It's just, that's very rewarding because it is about having the dialogue, having the discussion, and rendering the consensus opinions up, so that whatever comes down as direction is informed.
Interestingly, that's a great kind of segue again to my next question around, now that's your experience with ICMC on the CIO Council. When you look back at your time as the Navy CIO, or even just in your time as in the Navy CIO office for the last decade, what are you most proud of? What really stands out to you is when you walk away going, wow, I'm glad I was a part of that?
I guess the biggest thing that I think we have pushed is probably over the last year, the concept of the naval networking environment, you know, trying to get our arms around the homogeneous network architecture that will allow us to take our, you know, Navy Marine Corps networks and start to consolidate them. Now, we were doing that a year ago. Now there's direction from SecDef to, hey, go do that. You know, so not like we were seers or anything, but it's the right thing to do. You can defend it better. You can operate it more efficiently and effectively. And there's a whole bunch of opportunity lies in that consolidation effort. So, you know, I started with the CIO. One of the first things I did was deploy common access cards at the time with my now principal deputy, Barbara Hoffman. So I took great pride in the fact that that was a huge change management effort for the department to go from, you know, the old green ID cards to through these new common access cards. Learned a lot, but actually walked away thinking, hey, we actually got this thing started. It's now rolling. And today, these are the PIV card. They're the logical and physical access tokens across the board. So I'm quite proud of the fact that, A, there's a team here at Don CIO. It is an environment of great deal of communication and collaboration. I'm proud of the fact that we have accomplished numerous tactical objectives, but the fact that we've put in some strategic objectives as well, I walk away knowing that I've got the ship pointed in the direction that it ought to go, and that my successor will be empowered to go now drive the ship to the next port.
Very, very nice use of Navy lingo. All right, we're going to take another break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about maybe some of your things you wish you would have had more time to work on. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today is Rob Carey, the Department of Navy's Chief Information Officer.
CIOs and IT directors, are you paying for capacity services that you're not using? Take a good look at your capacity services contract, and next time, make sure you're not signing just another lease. Ask the experts. Vion Corporation, you can create a plan so that you only pay for what you use. When your job is on the line with data storage decisions, that's the way to go. With a 30-year partnership, Vion and Hitachi Data Systems have been bringing you innovative technologies with integrity and quality service. Visit Vion.com to learn more. That's Vion.com. CIOs and IT directors, is your network-attached storage infrastructure out of control? Do you have dozens and dozens of NAS appliances that are difficult to administer? Ask the experts at Vion Corporation how Hitachi's high-performance NAS, powered by BlueArc, can consolidate your NAS infrastructure, reduce your number of NAS appliances, and improve your NAS performance. With a 30-year partnership, Vion and Hitachi Data Systems have been bringing you innovative technologies with quality service. Visit Vion.com to learn more. That's Vion.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today is Rob Carey, the Navy Department's Chief Information Officer. Now, Rob, we talked about what you are most proud of as during your time in the CIO office. What do you wish you would have had to spend more time on? What do you wish you could have maybe accomplished a little more on over the last, you know, 4, 5, even 10 years?
It's a good question, and as a matter of fact, it's probably the most popular question that I've been asked. I would tell you that, you know, we've accomplished a lot of things in the time, the tenure that I've spent in CIO, and in my three roles, again, different levels of accomplishment. So my answer is probably not a good one. There isn't anything that I would have said, I wish I had got that done. Because over time, when I have looked back and I've done this, you know, things crank out on a very routine basis, albeit some of them are easier to do and others are hard to do. But, you know, I look back, and every year, if I look back at my list of accomplishments that I submit for my performance review, there's always more there than I ever remembered getting done. There's always more to do. So given the pace and rate of change of IMIT and cyber, you can't look and say, what didn't I get done? You have to look at the glasses is very full. We got a lot done, and there's always going to be a lot to do. So there isn't really any one or two, you know, nuggets that, gee, I wish I had, because there's so much going on, and given the limited amount of resources and the priorities that we have within the Department of the Navy and the Department of Defense, I'm quite satisfied that we've accomplished a ton of things.
I think some of your colleagues in the Department of Navy may wish you've never did NMCI, but that's a whole different conversation, and I won't take you down that path yet. When you talk about the CIO job, what are you going to miss most about not being the CIO anymore? What are you going to miss least?
To be honest with you, Jason, I'll miss my my 10-mile commute, but in reality, I'll miss the team here. You know, I've spent 10 years of my career here. We've built a team that are as much friends as coworkers, and I think that's really important, because in operational units, you start to deliver a high level of trust with your coworkers, and you start to operate, and your effectiveness goes way up on the efficiency scale and the effectiveness scale. You go way up as you really, really begin to trust one another. You value others' comments, whether they're in your lane or not. So I'll miss the fact that I have a really good team here. And I think the Secretariat recognizes that while we're not a large team, we're a very effective team. And so, you know, what will I miss the least? You know, I really can't find anything that I'll miss least, if you will. I mean, there are a lot of things that will I miss being in the Pentagon at 6:30 at night? Probably not. But I may be up at Fort Meade at 6:30 at night. So we'll see. I think there's just a change in landscape to where I'm going, and I think the landscape will have many of the same positives and some of the same negatives.
And here I would have thought you said you're going to miss all the OMB mandates that they give you that as a CIO you have to accomplish.
Well, but that's their job. I mean, so I don't. Those are going to come regardless of who is that CIO, and they're trying to do the things they think that are best, and then our job is to do our best to execute them. So today, we get to help advise, or I get to help advise Vivek, is that'll work or that won't work. And he's been generally very receptive to what Van and I have told him. So I might miss the fact that I won't get to help him as much as I could before, but I'll probably be able to do it offline if it's requested.
That's very true. And I think that, you know, sometimes once you kind of develop that trust, as you talk about in your office, that you have such a good relationship with the people you work with, that trust that you have with Vivek and other people in the CIO community, it's not going to disappear just because you no longer have that title of CIO.
That's correct. That's correct.
And you know, that those relationships obviously will continue. Now, speaking of what will continue, you have we don't know who the next CIO will be, but as you said, the undersecretary has said to you, you will be coming back once we do name a new CIO. So what kind of advice, what kind of direction would you give that person around priorities, plans as they get started?
I think it's more almost touchy-feely that, you know, as I said in my last blog again, that this is a team sport. You know, you sort of have to realize what you know and that you don't know everything and that the answer can come from anywhere. So, you know, building your coalitions and building out your strengths, knowing who knows what, who's good at what, who's not good at what, I think is really the advice I will give him outside of technical programmatic direction and that kind of stuff, where we were going and why we were going there. But the ability to collaborate and sort of cooperate with others, understanding that a lot of the senior leaders of the department are not IT experts, nor do they want to be. So you have to alter your discussion of where you're going to their level, not to your level. I can talk to a technical guy at a reasonable level of depth, but I would not talk to the under that way, the undersecretary of the Navy. I talk to him in mission level kinds of things. Why does this make sense? What's the ROI? Do we want to do this? Why do we want to do this? And what mission does it help? So my advice to the incoming CIO will be along those lines.
And I imagine, as you said in the very beginning of our conversation, you also will tell them what's been tried and maybe what hasn't worked as well, where the bodies are buried, where the skeletons exist, but also where you see opportunity to actually make the Navy better and continue to move it down the road that it's heading.
Absolutely. Maybe not so much, you know, where skeletons are and stuff like that, but know full well that the culture of the Navy and the culture of the Marine Corps are powerful influences on your ability to get something done here. So absent a recognition of that, right, you're going to be hamstrung a little bit. And so I think that, again, Secretary Gates's memo and this radical change that's about to take place in this department, I offer this to, you know, and I don't know if anybody's drawn these conclusions, but I look at when I read Lou Gerstner's book, Who Says Elephants Can't Dance, and the amount of lightning rod change that he brought to that company almost 20 years ago, and I look at, like, this amount of change that's about to be brought to bear, and I think of the great deal of opportunities that are in this space to effect real change that you would not have considered absent that top-level advocacy for change itself.
Very nice, Rob Carey. Always a pleasure to have you on. You've been listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today was Rob Carey, the Navy Department's Chief Information Officer, or should I say, unfortunately, outgoing Chief Information Officer. Rob, thank you so much for taking the time and joining us.
Thanks, Jason. It's been a pleasure.
You've been listening to Ask the Chief Information Officer, brought to you by Vion Corporation on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Ask the CIO Thursday mornings at 10:30, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM WFED, your source for federal news now.